This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Oh Ramadan, month of mercy you are. Welcome Ramadan, Ramadan.
Brothers and sisters, when we are presented with a business opportunity, our analysis is thorough. What are the startup costs? How many partners are involved? What's the likely return on the investment? However, the most important questions may not even arise in our minds when investigating this venture. The question that asks, what is the Islamic ruling surrounding this venture? And the Prophet ﷺ, by the way, had prophesied that such a day would arrive when people will not care where their money is coming from. He said, يَأْتِ عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لَا يُبَالِي الْمَرْءُ مَا أَخَذَ مِنْهُ أَمِنْ حَلَالٍ أَمْ مِنْ حَرَامٍ. There will come a time, he said, when people will not care about where they take their money from, whether it is from halal or from the haram. You may be thinking, hold on a minute, what does this topic have to do with our month of Ramadan? The link between the two is actually far stronger than we may have thought. If you or me have allowed this type of wealth into our account, then it means that we have essentially unleashed a devastating weapon against ourselves and maybe against our families. And the danger of this weapon is that its effects are not always immediately noticeable. It doesn't make any loud bangs. It doesn't tear down buildings. It doesn't release any killer toxic smells. But nevertheless, it is so ruthless in its effects that it has the power to, by itself, potentially devastate the life and the afterlife of a human being. And the casualties of haram money, they are beyond count. Take note of this. You may be giving charity this Ramadan, but when prohibited wealth is involved, one has essentially successfully managed to close the door of charity between him and Allah. That door is shut. And the fact that zakah, your obligatory charity, comes under this category should really terrify us. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ, he said, مَنْ جَمَعَ مَالًا حَرَامًا ثُمَّ تَصَدَّقَ بِهِ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ فِيهِ أَجْرٌ وَكَانَ إِصْرُهُ عَلَيْهِ. Whoever accumulates prohibited wealth, think about this, my dear brother. Whoever accumulates prohibited wealth and then gives out in charity from it, he will not be rewarded for it and will have to bear the consequences of it as well. Number two, you're making a lot of dua this Ramadan, right? In Witr and in other places, you're making dua. But remember, with prohibited wealth, one has essentially cut off the rope of dua between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, leaving this individual to fend for himself. A'udhu billah. And that is why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he made mention of a man explicitly describing him. He said that he was yutilu safar ash'atha aghbar. He was journeying so far, traveling, and he was in a disheveled, dusty state. Yamuddu yadayhi ila as-samaa, and he was spreading out his hands and raising them to the sky in dua, supplicating to Allah, saying, ya rab, my lord, my lord. ومطعمه حرام ومشربه حرام وملبسه حرام وغذي بالحرام فأنا يستجاب لذلك. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, but the problem is that his food was from the prohibited, his drink was from the prohibited, his clothing was from the prohibited, and his body was nourished from the prohibited. So how can his dua ever be answered? Wait, a quick footnote here for you. Notice how all of the reasons for an accepted dua were present in that man. He was traveling, right? He was in a humbled, disheveled state. His hands were raised in dua. He was repeating, Ya Rab, my Lord, these are things that bring about accepted dua. But despite these elements combined, Allah will still leave the hands of such a person empty. Why? Money was from haram. Earnings were from haram. And it is also well known that the dua of the companion, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, was answered by Allah Almighty every time. And he was asked about this, Alhamdulillah. So we have an answer. How come your dua is answered from all of the companions this quickly? He said, مَا رَفَعْتُ إِلَىٰ فَمِي لُقْمَةً إِلَّا وَأَنَا عَالِمٌ مِنْ أَيْنَ جَاءَتْ وَمِنْ أَيْنَ خَرَجَتْ. He said, because I have never raised any bit of food to my mouth without first realizing the details of where this food was sourced from. Earnings are haram. Earnings that are haram versus earnings that are halal. Number three, you are worshipping Allah this month, right? We're all doing that. But the harm of prohibited wealth is not limited to dua. Subhanallah. It actually extends its cancerous roots to even your prayer. Our fast, our hajj, our worship in general. Haram money affects all of it. Is all the money in the world worth it? Honestly, is all the money in the world worth it? And that's why Al-Ghazali, he said about this point, Al-ibadatu ma'a akli al-harami kal-bina'i ala amwaji al-bihar. A person's worship whilst consuming prohibited is just like the construction of a building on top of waves. Waves of an ocean. Is it possible? It affects the worship of a Muslim. And that's why Abdullah ibn Abbas, he also said, لا يقبل الله صلاة امرئ في جوفه حرام. Allah does not accept the prayer of a person who has prohibited sources within his body, meaning he will be deprived of the reward of that act of worship. Is it worth it? All of the money in the world, is it worth it? So with such casualties associated with prohibited wealth, what good is there left in the life of a person who insists on earning it? So with the courage of a believer, walk away from such sources at once, or minimally create an exit plan, a strategy to leave it as a matter of urgency, because as we just discovered, it's not just your Ramadan that depends upon it.
Oh Ramadan, month of mercy you are, welcome Ramadan, Ramadan.